So Acts, chapter one, it's just been Easter, isn't it? But we see in chapter one of Acts, you can flick back there, the priority of the gospel. Can you see verse 8 of chapter 1? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. There's the strapline of Acts. That's the plan. So the priority of the gospel, it has got to be told. The gospel of Christ will go out. Praise his wonderful name. It will go out because it's God's gospel, isn't it? It's God's good news. Barriers will come. If you know the book of Acts, you know life, barriers, many barriers come. Big barriers come as well. But God has decreed that the gospel of his son will go out to the ends of the earth. So guess what? It will. It will do that. And here we are today. We're ends of the earth compared to these times, aren't we? And so we've got chapter one, the priority of the gospel. Chapter two, you can see there, it's Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit comes and fuels this mission to get the good news of Christ out. There's the power. There's the engine room. It's the Holy Spirit. Then we've got the preaching of the gospel. So in chapter two, Peter addresses the crowds. And what a sermon that is. What a great fruits come of it. Soon persecution is coming because the authorities in Acts, well, I think things are getting out of hand. What's going on? And kind of the joke of Jesus rising again has gone far enough. We need to do something about it. But they don't know. It's not gone nearly far enough. It hasn't even gone outside Jerusalem yet, has it? It's going to the ends of the earth. But today, in this short passage, so chapter 2, verse 42, we see the people of the gospel. Because after Peter preaches in chapter 2, 3,000 are added. 3,000. So, okay, great. That is fantastic, isn't it? But suddenly, they're this big group of people, aren't they? Like, what do we do? What do we do together? What do we actually do? What do we do next? They have become the first church. But what is a church? What does the church do? Here's a few questions. Forgive me, not like the children's talk. We won't do the hands up. And we just listen, if that's okay. I'm sure you're happy with it. Can it be the great outdoors? So some of you like walking on hills in lovely surroundings. You think, oh, the glory of creation. Just me and God is here. I mean, look at this. Is that a church? No. That's nice. That's a nice walk in God's creation. It's not the church, is it? Can a church be two or three people gathered in Jesus' name? I don't think he wants to put his hand up, by the way. He doesn't. And he doesn't know the answer either. Can it be two or three? Sorry, Tom. Well, actually, that passage in Matthew 18 is about church discipline. So the answer is no. That is about the number of witnesses needed in church discipline. Next one. Can the church be staying in our homes, singing along to Christian songs or on Alexa or whatever, or listening to a sermon online? Is that the church? No. No, it's not. That is a great provision for those being housebound. Used well during lockdown, but it's not the church. Last one, is the church coming along on Sunday morning, getting a dose of the Bible, having a bit of a chat with each other afterwards over refreshments, singing some songs, feeling pretty good, that sort of thing, hopefully, and then going home? Is that the church? No. Even that is not the church. Part of, obviously. Acts 2, 42 to 47 is the church, because it shows us what the church is and what the church does and what effect the church has. So here we see in this short passage how the church first looks up, the church also looks around, and the church looks out. Here we see three key marks of the kind of church we want to be. And that is a church devoted to God, that's the looking up, of course, committed to one another, that's the looking around, committed to each other, and open to the world, that's the looking out. So first one, Tom, if you don't mind, the people of the gospel, first and foremost, look up. They're devoted to God. How? You see in the passage, they devoted themselves to the preaching and the teaching of the word. So chapter 2, Peter preaches, and there's more preaching to come, isn't there? And it's the apostles preaching and teaching, because the apostles got the message directly from Jesus. So when we and they here listen to the apostles, we're listening to Christ. It's no surprise this is first in this little section, because at the heart of the church is Jesus-centered Bible teaching and preaching. That it should be the heart and is the heart of a church. What did they preach and what did they teach? They taught the Bible. If there's no Bible, there's no church. It's as simple as that. Life, think about it, came into existence through God's word. He spoke and it came to be, didn't he? So too, new spiritual life comes about through God's word. Faith is through hearing. Jesus's disciples taught. They taught God's word. Peter's preaching brings the first church to life. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit doing it, but it's through the preaching, isn't it? And preaching's continued down through the ages, and today needs to be the strongest thing. Strong teaching, strong churches. So goes the preaching, so goes the church. So they hear about Jesus. Pentecost, think Holy Spirit. Yes, that's wonderful. And it is absolutely wonderful the Spirit came. Who's the Holy Spirit all about? He's about Christ, isn't it? The Holy Spirit's role is to point people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and say, look at me, third person of the Trinity who gets ignored too much in Grace Baptist churches. Sorry, I didn't say that. Don't look at, he said, look at Christ. He brings people to Christ. Listen to Jesus who saves. So they look up in devotion to God through teaching. Can you see what else? What we're going to do after we've sung? The breaking of bread. So they broke bread together, didn't they? They fed on God's word. And by faith, they fed on the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. They kept looking back to the cross, didn't they? Through the bread and the cup. Proclaiming and for themselves remembering what their Savior's done. So here's the church. Through preaching, they hear the gospel. Through the Lord's Supper, they actually show the gospel. That is what communion is, big part of it. The display of the gospel, isn't it? Also, can we see end of verse 42? Through prayer, they plead the gospel. So they pray together. All the time they're looking up. They're looking up to God, like children's talk with the commandments, in dependency. They're looking up in thanks to God as well. And we see lots of prayer in Acts, don't we? You can see there, chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John went to pray. Can't help thinking of the song when they say that. There's lots of prayer. They go up to the temple, 4, verse 24. They're in a meeting room. They heard this, they raised their voices, 4:24, together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they're praying. Churches pray. Churches pray. They call to God. They call upon God because it's all for God's glory and it's all through God's power alone. So prayer is a key activity of the church. It isn't a last resort. I mean, praise the Lord, it is a last resort. So you get people, and it may be you. I was in that place and I prayed. I was that low and that was when I prayed. So you hear that, don't you? That's true, isn't it? Praise the Lord for that. But it isn't to be the Christian's last resort. It's not, prayer isn't something we should do if we've got time. It's got a bit of time to kill now. I mean, it's good to do that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But it's not something we should do if we've got nothing else to do, nothing better to do. Or maybe use the journey time to work to pray. That's okay. But prayer is vital. Christians pray. We can often leave prayer, I speak for myself, we can leave it till last or not at all when we leave things till last, because you know, we wear ourselves out with all sorts of other things. And actually prayer just slips off somewhere, doesn't it? Let me encourage you, there's a prayer meeting in this church, isn't it? It's the engine room of a church. Be at the prayer meeting. Make it a priority in your life. They also, verse 47, can you see? They praised God. The New Testament church were praisers in prayer and in song. So we don't need to turn to it, but you can if you want. Chapter 16, even in prison, they're praying and singing. I'm not even going to, you're turning to it, but that's fine. But they're praying and singing, aren't they? Paul and Silas. Ephesians 5, verse 18, filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When we sing, and we sung, and we will sing again, we're singing to God, but we're also singing to each other. We're sometimes singing to ourselves. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's a song to ourselves, isn't it? That's like, come on me, you lethargic me. Let's bless the Lord. They were praisers. They praised, filled with awe, full of praise, it says in verse 43. They were filled, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed. They were made up. But look what God is doing. And we're part of this. That's incredible. This is wonderful. Can you believe it? Imagine looking at each other. 3,000 just been added. I'm excited coming back here this morning. God's doing. And if you're new here, you probably don't know, but the church is growing, excited, full of awe of what God is doing. Verse 46, at the end of it, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So their hearts, and I suggest this is the heart we want, is this perfect blend, glad. Joy should be the mark of a Christian. There's times we are not going to feel joyful. That's true. But deep joy is a wonderful thing that God gives a Christian. So they've got a perfect mix of a glad heart, but a sincere heart. They're serious. We're serious in what God has done. We're not just playing church. No, this is what Christ has done. And we're serious about it. What he's done, what he is doing, what he will do. We're serious about the future. Christ is coming back. That is a serious thing. But us, for our neighbors, we'll get onto that in a moment. They were genuine about their faith. They were earnest and passionate. This wasn't a fleeting feeling. We're so good at fleeting feelings, aren't we? Someone says, woohoo, like this. Like this. Steady in the Lord, deep joy in him. So they look up in worship. Their hearts, their mouths are open to God. Let me suggest mouths being open to God is a good thing. in looking out, which we're coming to, but in the first point, in worship of God, in praise to him. So the first thing the church does, it looks up, but that's not all the church does. It spends much of its time looking up, but not all. They look up. Oh, second one, please, Tom. Thank you. They look around. They're committed to others because looking up, of course, makes you look around because God loves people. How can you look up at God and praise and worship it and not love those he's made? It doesn't make sense, does it? They look up and they look around because that's what God's love does to us. They're devoted to God and they're devoted to one another. Glued to God, glued to each other, and the glue is Christ. So verse 42, they devoted themselves to fellowship at the end of verse 42. So through the preaching and teaching, they hear the gospel. Through the Lord's Supper, they see the gospel, don't they? In prayer, they're pleading the gospel. But as they devote themselves to each other in fellowship, they experience the gospel. They actually feel it. They feel the joy and the love of being in this amazing community that God has made. And they share love, they share values, they share mission, they share meals, they share possessions. Fellowship for Christians is a special thing. My kids laugh at me because I know it's an old-fashioned word. It is, but it's got to stick because it's the best one, I think. Unless you come up with an alternative, but I think it works. It's different because fellowship is not around a team. It's not just around food. These things help, you know, but it is not fellowship. Fellowship is not around people like me. Okay, I'm like that person, so we've got good fellowship. Fellowship is Christ. That's what fellowship is. It's around Jesus Christ. That's what makes it so special. He's the glue. Church has a commitment to one another, flowing from a commitment to God. So the people of the gospel here, they're this new community. They are a supernatural community. No other religion in the world is as diverse as Christianity. It really isn't. It's not a group of people here who have just kind of turned over a new leaf. It's not a group of people just trying harder. Come on, everybody. It's a people filled with the Holy Spirit that have become a spiritual family. That is what you are, church. You're a spiritual family. Those that look around at others that Jesus has saved and are automatically bonded. Barriers that would be there in the world are gone. We see through, we don't judge. This is a safe space where everyone's welcome. And where there is this wonderful bond that is stronger even than earthly family's blood. Because it's the blood of Christ, isn't it? That's the strongest blood there is, which we'll be reminded of. To be part of the church is to be part of a massive family and a wonderful family. Jesus in Matthew 12 was there, and some people said, didn't they, come see your mother and your brothers are here, they want to talk to you. Jesus says, takes this moment, doesn't he? Who are my mother and my brothers? Here they are, he says, pointing at his disciples. And in chapter 19 of Matthew, even if you leave family for my sake, you're going to receive 100 times as much family. That's the church. The church is a very big family. To be a Christian is great gain in so many ways. Of course, salvation, but the church, being part of the church, including the church now on this earth as well. So the New Testament, it doesn't have a category for Lone Ranger Christians. You can be a Christian on your own, but you can't be the church on your own. Christians belong in churches because Christians are part of God's family. But then again, let's acknowledge, you hit the word family. Some of us might think, oh, and that's a really difficult word for us because families are messy families are often difficult. That is true, isn't it? So let's not over-idealize the church now, but we are imperfect. We are an in-training family. That is true, isn't it? In heaven, the church will be perfect. Can't wait for that moment. Now, as church family, we'll drive each other mad at times. That will happen. But the joy of being church family is that forgiveness. To be quick to forgive, slow to judge. When these things happen amongst us, we experience what it is to be Christ's people. If church gets messy, or rather when church gets messy, let me encourage you, stick around and lovingly help. That is a good thing to do, because it's a mess worth making the churches. It really is. It's a fight worth fighting for. Don't run from church when it gets messy or difficult. Stay and help for the glory of God. And acknowledge as well that we will sometimes be the one making the mess. You will. I will. That's true. With the help of the Holy Spirit, though, we can help fix the problem. The church is a fellowship of people who look out. And what families do is, as they look at each other, is, of course, share. So see those verses in 44. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So they, 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So they shared their time, they met together. They shared their stuff, they met their needs together. They were generous with their things, because God is massively generous to us, isn't he? Think about it. The Father sends the Son gives himself, the Son sends the Spirit to give life and power to his people. And he, the Holy Spirit, in us through Christ, shining on the glory of the Father and the grace of the Son, awakens in a believer a desire to be generous, a desire to be a giver. Not a grabber. By nature, we're grabbers, aren't we? But no, the church are givers. And we see this here. So they give up land, possessions, so the money can be used for those in need. That's incredible community, isn't it? Everything in common, which is wonderful. As someone has once said, it's not everything in communism that denies private property and ownership. The Bible doesn't teach that. Instead, we see lots of private ownership and rules about that as well. You hear, you know, do not steal, those sorts of things. They had their own things. We don't read here that Peter was going around, you know, saying, actually, I kind of need your new Range Rover for something. Or, you know, that, you know, there wasn't a church tax or anything. Things weren't taken in force. Things were given in the church in love, weren't they? Can you imagine today if the government did away with tax? Let's just appeal to everyone's good nature. Do you think the people would pay their tax? I don't think so. It's not going to happen, is it? Well, some might. No, the government takes and demands tax because they need to. The church gives because they want to, because they have received so much. It's the wonderful picture. The consumer attitude is alive and well in churches. It's not well, of course, it's a sick attitude, isn't it? But you get people flitting between churches for what they want. Often the first thing is, what do I want from a church? What kind of things do I like? What's in my top five that has to meet my criteria? That sort of thing. And it's not just young people, of course, that flit between churches. It's all people who don't understand what a church is about people. It's not so much what I get. Now, that's important. It's important we get taught and so on. But the first thing is, what can I give? What can I give to this community who Christ has died for? That should come first. And if you're all about what church does for me, if there's a consumer Christian in you, and there is in each of us, including me as well, we need to be rebuked and convicted, because we're missing the main point. Church is a community that looks up to God, around to others with open hands. That is the first thing. And lastly, and shortly as well, thank you very much, Tom. They look out, they're open to the world. So verse 47, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Was the early church closed off to the world? No, they weren't, were they? Did they hide away? No, they didn't. They can't have done. Outsiders, it says, looked on them, the favor of the people, and said he must have been looking in and seeing what was going on. And they looked upon them well, didn't they? So we don't read here that people looked at the church and thought, oh, well, they're a boring bunch of Christians. That's not what it says. It says they were attractive to outsiders. They looked with favor upon them. At a time when life was cheap, people saw the church counting the cost, denying themselves, and they were impressed. This is awesome. What they're doing, you know, we kind of don't understand the funny things they get up to maybe in their services and some of the things they think, but boy, they make Jerusalem a better place to be. The church's organic union was attractive. It was a great witness, wasn't it? And the church is such a community that people looking in should say, wow. And they should say, how? How is that happening? How is it these people from all different walks of life, how is it they get on so well together? How is it they're so generous to each other? Young people, don't ever be embarrassed of the church. It can be embarrassing in the culture, in the world that likes cool. But let me tell you, all of us need to hear this. The church is the greatest thing on earth. It's what God has made. It's what Christ has died for. Don't ever be embarrassed of the church. It's where God dwells with man. It's a miracle, the church is. Most people in the world stick with people like them, don't they? People help other people like them. The church is the greatest at diversity. It is a miracle today. Every local church is a local miracle in the locality it's in. They were seen. We must be seen. Kesgate Baptist Church must be seen. We mustn't appear to be hiding in these walls. That's not good. Why? Because the world needs to see, don't they? The world needs the church. This area needs you. It needs your fellowship. It needs your commitment to God. It needs your commitment to Jesus, to commitment to one another. You need to belong to a church for your own good. I do as well. But we also need to belong to the church for the good of the world, for the good of those who need the Savior, desperately so. And do we see what happened as the church was being the church? Very last few words there. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As they are being the church, people are being saved. How big was the church in chapter 1, verse 15? It says 120, about 120 there, doesn't it? In 2, verse 41, after Peter preached, how many have you got in the church there? Well, that's 3,120, about, isn't it? Great start. Great God, great numbers. Is God counting heads? This is the phrase, isn't it? God doesn't count heads and so on. Well, John sees a multitude in heaven that can't be counted. Each name is in the Lamb's book of life, we read, don't we? And chapter 4, verse 4, 2,000 are added in Acts as well. There's also a whole book in the Bible called Numbers, isn't there? God does count people. because people count, don't they? So there's lots of numbers and lots of adding up going on because people are precious to God. The Lord added more by saving people, saving from sin's power and destruction, which leads to hell. The Lord added to what he added to his church, didn't he? The glorious company of the redeemed. And the last word in verse 47 gives the purpose of the church, saved or salvation. Christian, why have you not been whisked to heaven the moment you became a Christian? So you can be Christ's witnesses. So you and I can help save others now. And that's what we should be about. Others were added. Others cry out in repentance. Others were baptized. People were saved. Praise the Lord's wonderful name. And through the church, the Holy Spirit changes weak people into vibrant people who look up, devoted to God, who look out, are committed to one another, and who are looking out to the world as well, open to the world. Let's have a moment's quiet before we sing together. Maybe something was said that's challenged you. Just take a moment in the quiet and then we'll sing.